Welcome to TSOH Weekly. My name is Alex Morris of the TSOH Investment Research Service. With me, as always, Francisco Oliveira of Aravilo Capital Management. Today's topic is one we discussed here recently in terms of audiobooks. It's Spotify. The company recently reported its Q3 FY23 results. And before we jump in, I wanted to open with a quote from CEO Daniel Ek from the company's Q4 FY22 call, where he said, "Going forward, we will act with an intense focus on efficiency, and that marks a pretty big shift for us. We're rethinking how we operate. 2023 marks a new chapter." So, Francisco, as we've got through the first 9 months of the year, what are we seeing in terms of Spotify's results, and what is that new chapter starting to look like?
I think a good way of framing it, that was a good way of framing it. And we, when they started the year, Danny Ek basically, they put out a letter and they said they were essentially going to lay off around 6% of the workforce. That number subsequently increased in other, they took the podcasting department, started doing some pretty big layoffs there. And I think this is the first quarter where we really see some of this impact drop to the bottom line. If you look at it from a year-over-year perspective, sales and marketing was down, you know, high teens, and same for G&A expense. Research and development was also an expense that was down in the mid-single digits, but it's an expense that they've been, you know, growing actively and protecting, so that even that was down. And what we see is that on a operating income margin, for the third quarter, we flipped from having a negative 7.5% EBIT margin in Q3 2022 to actually a positive 1% margin for Q3 2023. So the business has continued to grow, and they're growing in the low double digits, and that's reaccelerating. But they've taken some real discipline to their cost structure. And going forward, you know, to the quote you just said, they're going to continue with that discipline, and they're going to want more of the revenue growth to drop to the bottom line. And not only that, they, you know, last quarter, as we talked about a couple podcasts ago, you know, they announced a price increase. And this quarter they said, look, it's going to be part of our arsenal of tools to continue to grow revenues, which their medium-term target is to grow revenues over 20%. They're not close to that level yet. But if price increases are something that continue to be there on an annual basis, and you continue to have that discipline on the cost structure, you know, they have 1% EBIT margin for the quarter, but that should expand fairly materially going forward.
Yeah,
Do you
I think that's a good way of framing it. I think this quarter in particular was a pretty significant change in terms of, and maybe some of it was just having clean results as opposed to restructuring and real estate charges and other things that tend to come up as you're going through a year of efficiency type period. You know, if you look back over the past 2 years, 21 and 22, OpEx as a percentage of revenues was north of 30%. So, you know, where a lot of investor focus has been on how do you get this business from mid-20s gross margins up to 30 and hopefully above 30 over time. Well, the fight to get from 25 to 30, the outcome from that looked a lot less compelling if you were now facing OpEx as a percentage of revenues that was north of 30. Obviously, that would lead to a situation where they're losing money or break even. This quarter, you saw OpEx as a percentage of sales fall to about 25%. And so it's just a very significant change in terms of the cost structure for this business relative to where they've been over the past, especially the past 2 to 3 years. So it's a very, very significant step change there. It also applies to some extent on the gross margins. I mean, you look to the first half of 23, and gross margins were in the call it 25 to 25.5% range, which is really where they've effectively been since, you know, 2018, which is when the last time they had label negotiations that had a meaningful impact in terms of the economics of that relationship. Now you get to Q3 and Q4, and the company's guiding to something in the mid 26 area, which on a year-over-year basis gets you to, call it to 100 and 150 basis points of expansion, which is again kind of the trajectory that they need in terms of hitting the investor day targets that they laid out. So I just think between those two factors, you're starting to see a company that for a long time has had the respect from investors in terms of really impressive user growth trends and engagement trends, et cetera, considering who their competition is and, their ability to continue expanding into new verticals, most prominent of which is podcasting. The harder part has been, what does that mean in terms of the business results, even if you give them leash out 3, 4, 5 years? I think this quarter in particular was one of the clearest signs yet that they're starting to become a lot more serious about pulling the levers to get them there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, and even when you talk about now audiobooks as another lever, giving consumers, as we discussed in the previous pod, 15 hours for free of audiobook listening, that's going to directly impact gross margins. Now, they said on the call that they're going to continue to expand gross margins despite those headwinds. I think in the past they would have said like, hey, we're penalizing gross margins, but this is part of our investment and we're going to continue to grow. So even that, there's been a mentality change. And you mentioned the investor day, which the targets are a little bit vague on the exact years and the exact ranges, but they continue to believe that they can grow revenue at over 20%, that they're going to reach gross margins at 30% plus. This quarter, to your point, they were at 20, 26 and a half ish range. For them growing that gross margin by 400 basis points, over a call it a 3 year period, more or less, that's fairly Herculean given the huge variable nature of their cost structure. So I'm very curious to see that play out, because if it can play out, you get those 400 basis points and they continue to show discipline on sales and marketing, G&A, and research and development, which I don't think research and development particularly, which was 1.4 billion euros in 2022, and on an LTM basis is 1.6 billion euros. I don't think that's something that they need to have at 3 billion euros plus anytime soon. I mean, Netflix is in the 2.7-ish, 2 billion range on R&D, and you could argue they're a business that needs much more investment in tech, given that you're streaming video. So I do see them, the debate is, from a 1% EBIT margin, can you really get to 10%? Can you get to 15%? And whether they're showing signs that they're serious about this, but whether they can achieve that, I think it's still an open question, but we're seeing promising signs, at least in this past quarter.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as we're closing up here, I think this quote from CFO Paul Vogel at the Goldman conference in September of this year is sums it up pretty well. Most people in this room listening believe we have a great product. If there's people who are still questioning, do we have a great business? We're 100% committed to proving out that this is not just a great product, but this is a great business. And you'll see the building blocks over the next quarters and years to prove that out. I think they've said some version of that for what feels like an extended period of time. And it wasn't always evident that their words really matched what you were seeing in terms of the business results. And I think it's now started to, for the first time, look like that may be changing. Now that said, as we get to the end of the year, and we start to see what's in store for 24, you have questions around these different drivers, whether it's podcasts, whether it's marketplace, whether it's the headwind from audiobooks, which they're saying may be small, and we'll have to see how that actually shows up. But in some ways, not to paint it in too negative of a light, but in some ways, you've now jumped on the hamster wheel a little bit, and now to the extent that you step off of it and back in the opposite direction, that'd probably be met with a pretty negative response from market participants. So this is the constant struggle that public companies face, though, right? It's balancing the long term and the short term, and intelligently positioning the business for the future while also, satisfying some of the short term needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for now, they're showing a good trajectory, and if they can really expand, I'll be a believer if they can show material gross margin expansion and get good traction on the audiobooks consumption. If that happens, I mean, I think there's some serious things going on there. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, my version of that will be on the other side of the equation with the OpEx efficiency. How much of this will prove sticky, especially if we start seeing, the trends in MAU and premium subs both are incredibly strong right now. But those are likely not sustainable at some point either way. But if that starts to come under more pressure, what does that mean in terms of some of these more discretionary expense lines?
I think that's a good way of ending it.